Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of September, recording at 9:12 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were weaker. We're open, and there were some big hits. The Hang Seng Index down 4.21%. The HSCEI, a similar decline. The Australian AS51 index down 3.72%, Nikkei down 2.3%, European stock markets are clobbered, CAC 40 down 4%, number of declines in the 3% range, the UK FTSE 100, a relative outperformer, down only, 1.63%. In the Americas, well, this was interesting because we had some considerable weakness, particularly in the pre-markets. Just to give you an idea, the December NASDAQ 100 index, okay, December NASDAQ 100 got down this morning as low as 2117. It's currently at 2192, up 27, nearly 28. points in after hours trading. So Wall Street closing at the highs of the day with modest gains of 0.7% for the S&P, a little bit higher, over 1%, 1.1% for the NASDAQ composite. Now, if we get upside leadership, you're going to see it in the NASDAQ first. That's happened over and over again. Conversely, you would probably get the other indices leading to the downside. Now, what else here? Long-dated government bonds, choppy action, the U.S. contracts closing lower. Gilts and bunds, which had closed earlier, had strong gains, particularly the U.K. gilts. The U.S. dollar was firmer in here, but a lot of those gains have been dissipated as the day has moved on, with the euro, for instance, dropping down to 134.95, but currently 136.73. Precious metals got walloped in here today. Gold was down over $50 at one stage. It's got down to 1801.5. It's currently 1816. Silver got down to 39.75. It's currently $40.39. It's still over a dollar and a quarter. It's about a dollar and a quarter down. Palladium testing that $700 level once again, down 32. Platinum down 25. And crude oil. The Brent was pretty much unchanged, 112 and a little bit of change, up a dollar and a half on the WTI to 88.79. Industrial metals were mixed. Copper's the one a lot of people are watching. It fell down to 390 in the U.S. Earlier today, but then recovered most of that loss. It's currently 399.50. And but generally high volatility, particularly in stock markets. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, it's the same old story. People are really, really worrying about Europe. And the main concern at the moment is Greece. Now, Greece's two-year bond yield, government bond yields for Greece now yield over 60%. And that is obviously discounting a default. And there is a feeling that the European countries, anxious to avoid their Lehman moment, would bail out their own banks But nobody's queuing up to bail out Greece. And Greece has made various noises, promises, or indications that it would take measures. The latest one being to have a property tax. But the trouble is, confidence in the region is so low that nobody actually believes that they'll pass that and go ahead with it. So we're left with this morass in Europe, where there really isn't a structure in place to deal with these kinds of problems. And there's a lot of squabbling going on, and well, you know all that. You're seeing it every single day, and it really has spooked a lot of investors, quite understandably. I feel that the volatility has been aggravated by the high frequency trading, which accounted for about 80% of volume on the New York Stock Exchange last month, and I would wager it's high again this month. Option volatility, I think the VIX is up around 38, so that's not too great a picture either. Now, led by Europe, but not exclusively, or not limited to Europe, I should say, the technical patterns have deteriorated in here. And when you're in a range, there's always a danger that you get a couple of days to the upside and people begin to feel a little better about it, and a few days to the downside and the sentiment turns the other way. That's why one of the reasons why Owen had identified certain criteria we'd be monitoring on the charts. But what we can say here is that nothing has really broken up out of these ranges among stock markets, and at least not that I'm aware of. That ASEAN sector is still a relative strength holdout, and we've had individual companies, largely multinational companies catering to consumer spending, retail luxury goods, that and it's such a and then a high end or not high end electronics but consumer electronics, Apple, showing standout performances overall. But take a closer look at these global stock markets, and too many of them have broken down. A number of European indices have broken down beneath their August lows. So that's just reaffirming the overall downward trend. And none of the important stock markets have rallied enough to indicate that those August lows are actually going to hold. So this is still a bear market environment overall, it must be said. With Greece, to repeat myself, but I think with Europe, to repeat myself, being very much the main focal point of global concern. Action out of the Chinese markets is not encouraging at this stage. Disappointingly, I say. Because there has been talk that of a soft landing, which seems not an unreasonable bet, in my opinion. Hong Kong's weaker. I mentioned Hong Kong before, earlier in the month, last month, that there's good probability that that Hong Kong is actually in a recession here right now. So, but net it all out. And there's a good deal more negative technical evidence than there is positive technical evidence for these stock markets. And therefore, our feeling that this is still a bear market, There's too high a risk that the ranges that we have been seeing are distributions beneath the top areas. So, I'd be cautious. And there's no need to bid up for anything, and no need to rush in here, although where liquidity is an important factor, I think those who manage large funds who feel inclined to be nibbling on weakness at stocks that you like is not a bad idea overall. But equally, investors with less substantial assets who would like to wait until we either see something more climactic or to come in on strength should markets start performing much better. They may want to hold off. And again, in terms of catalysts, well, we've discussed this with subscribers on a number of occasions here in recent weeks. But the main catalyst that I would like to see, there are several of them. I would like to see the leading growth economies announced that they were finished with their monetary tightening. But why should they do that when they're Asian and rough rice prices are much too high and energy prices are still too high? They still have inflation problems, albeit moderating somewhat. I'd certainly like to see some genuine unity and leadership out of Europe, but I'm certainly not holding my breath for that. Ditto for the United States government. In terms of the spats between Congress and the Democratic White House. Okay, enough of that. What about these long-dated government bonds? Well, yields remain near record low levels, and prices firm. They don't represent value, but people are fearful. That's what they're discounting in here right now. They're discounting the threat of recession and deflation rather than inflation and a supply glut. Now, precious metals have been absolutely outstanding, as you know. But you have this situation where gold remains overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, and every other time it's been similarly overextended. It's experienced a mean reversion towards its rising 200-day moving average. So why should it be different this time? Well, if it's going to be different this time, you would could attribute that possibly to a bandwagon effect as more and more people became interested in gold. And the other side of the equation, which people are writing about and talking about, is that the horrors coming out of Europe and elsewhere involving debt problems are so great that gold would go up anyway. But what I don't like is that overextension relative to the MA. That means to me that the risks are higher in the short term than I would like. I also don't like the fact that everybody and his brother-in-law seems to be producing an incredibly bullish report on gold. And we've had ludicrous figures bandied about by some of the authors of these reports in terms of potential targets, and people screaming, don't ever even think about selling your gold, which to me is, if I read between the lines as a cynic, and in markets it pays to be a bit cynical, if I read between the lines as a cynic, you get some advisory that's telling people, don't even think about ever selling your gold. That suggests to me that the author might be leveraged up quite heavily and doesn't want to see the volatility. Well, call me suspicious. But what I didn't like here today in addition to that overextension, is that gold weakened at a time when stock markets were weak, whereas last month and earlier this month, any time stock markets weakened, gold was pushing up and testing or extending its move into new high ground in U.S. dollars. So it's faltered in here today, and the dollar is noticeably firmer, pretty much across the boards. And that is a bit of a headwind for gold. But what we know, because we've seen it before, is that if you get really panicky liquidation and a flight to cash, such as we saw in 2008, then people will sell gold as well, although it fell less in 2008 than just about anything else, and it recovered faster, as did gold shares. But we're in a period here where it's going to be really quite volatile. I maintain that further ranging mean reversion by gold would be healthy, technically. Palladium might be another matter. Palladium, this looks very toppy. I've mentioned its downward dynamics before, and it's come back down to those flat line lows near the 700 level. It's at 706.50 as I speak. But trading activity dominated since February, when we had a big weekly key, and we've had more than one of those. Dominated by these downward dynamics, and it's now also below its 200-day moving average once again. If it were all on its own, I'd think it was sitting duck here to get nailed, and that may well be just what happens. I think it's only been the strength of some of the other precious metals that have actually kept it up here in the short term. Crude prices still too high in terms of Brent, but the U.S. is having to pay less for its energy costs, and so that makes the U.S., along with the dollar, a wee bit of a safe haven in here relative to Europe. And, folks, I think that's about it on this day. I might just go home and watch the tennis, but I've post my copy first. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.